All right, now for the second song, it was written in 1961 and recorded by a band called the Top Notes. They didn't really get a big hit with that.
That's generic enough, isn't it? The Top Notes?
Then it was recorded by the Isley Brothers in 1962. And the Isley Brothers were actually, their version of it was produced by the guy who wrote the song. Now, the Top Notes version, the original version, was produced by Phil Spector, the famous producer. Mm. But Burt Burns, one of the songwriters, felt that Phil Spector had ruined the song. And so he produced an Isley Brothers song version that he thought was much closer to the one that he had envisioned. And the Isley Brothers had a nice hit with it. It was their first hit since, what was it, Shout? What did they do? I can't remember the one that
they did. Twist and Shout, right?
Twist and Shout.
Yeah, they did Twist and Shout, but...
You're talking about...
I'm trying to think of the hit they had right before it. Yeah,
okay,
right.
They
hadn't had a hit in like 3 years since Shout had established them.
Okay.
So then they had a hit with this song, but it was their version of it that inspired what I think was a greater version of the song, and that is this classic by The Beatles. The Beatles at it all, of course, all the Little Richard kind of, that stuff and the build-up. I think their version is the definitive version of the song, but they were very inspired by the Isley Brothers because that was, you know, they were huge fans.
Excuse my ignorance of the Beatles. That's Paul McCartney leading that song, right?
No, that is John Lennon singing lead.
Okay, so John Lennon, I didn't realize he had that kind of earth in his voice. Is that a typical sound of his?
Yeah, John could really rock and yell, okay. But then so could Paul McCartney. And they released this on their first UK album, Please Please Me. And during their recording session, they recorded that whole album in like 13 hours. And they had to leave this song until the very end because John's voice, they knew, couldn't survive too many takes of it.
As a matter of fact, they
tried to do a second take of the song, and John's voice just crapped out.
He is singing with his chest in that one. You can tell. I don't think I've ever heard them just dig into a song like that before.
Yeah. And he also had a cold at the time and was sucking on cough drops and drinking milk and doing everything he could to try to get his voice well enough for this song. So there you go. Twist and Shout by the Beatles. Better than the original. I don't know if y'all want to hear a little bit of the Isley Brothers version of it.
We'll
hear it in just a few moments. Here it is on sports. Levels kind of all over the place on the vocals.
Right.
And their version was definitely an improvement over the Top Notes version, which is just bad in my opinion.
Not even one worthy of playing is that bad. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not gonna waste your time with that.
I thought it was the other way around.
Dance party version.
Yeah, I thought it was the Beatles first and then the Isley Brothers, but it's the reverse. Okay.
Yeah, it's the reverse. And the Beatles, I want to say that let me see if I wrote this note down. The Beatles version of it was their only million-selling record of a cover song. So all the other songs that the Beatles did, you know, they had written. And it was their only million-selling cover song. And it was the only Beatles cover song to reach the top 10 on the national charts. It failed to hit number one. Do you know why?
Why? No.
They were kept out of the number one spot with Twist and Shout. Because They had the number one spot with Can't Buy Me Love.
Ah.
They denied themselves.
Another number one hit.
Another number one hit.
Those damn Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's us.
Okay, now then this, we were supposed to do three each, right?
Go right ahead.
Okay. So this next one was a hit for two different artists, but I think the second artist gave the defining version of it. And, man, do you even have to introduce this one? Here you go. On Sports.
Such a signature tune.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is how good this version is. When you take an Otis Redding song and somehow make it better.
Right.
That takes a lot.
Yeah, seems impossible, like George would say, to do something like that. And she did just that.
Yeah, Otis Redding had this in 1965, and he originally wrote it as a ballad. But then he sped it up and sang it, and it didn't have near the lyrical impact when he did it. His version was just kind of about a guy who wanted respect because he earned money in the household. She takes it, makes it a female anthem, her sister's adding the backup, adding the socket to me in there. According to the guy who engineered it, he said that Carolyn, Aretha's sister, was the one who came up with the spelling out of R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that was Aretha's sister's idea to do that.
And that song
and they
would
came
be
up
naked.
With the socket to me and all that.
Yeah, it would be naked without it now that you think about it. If she didn't come up with that idea, it would still be a great song, but that just puts the punctuator right on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. The spelling of the word, the socket to me is in the background, all these little curly cues that they put on it that make it iconic.
That's awesome.
She recorded it on Valentine's Day in 1967, a couple years after Otis had a hit with it.
And I can think of the conversation that they had. Hey, spell it out. And she's like, that sounds stupid. I don't want to do that. No, just do it and try it, and it'll work. I'm telling you. And then she did. It's like, oh, all right. Let's keep it in there. Now add the socket to me. Come on, now let's go.
But you're exactly right in that this was extremely hard to do because there's been so many fantastic versions, cover songs, done of other people's originals. And, you know, narrowing down the list was darn near impossible. All of these musical segments we've been doing during the COVID lockup, you know, we've been doing them every Tuesday with that list of band you love, band you hate, band you wish you saw. It's very hard to narrow it down. I have honorable mentions here, but I'm not going to do them because I fear that you guys may have them on your list.
And I feel like I can do this for a month straight because you can come up with different songs because there are so many. The list is so great, and I think we're just scratching the surface of some of the bigger hits that you could think of a lot more. So Gordon had his list of three. I did a couple. Let's throw it to Norm so he can do a song, and then, Gordon, we're going to carry it over and have Norm finish his list, and then we'll hear from Soroy in the next segment if you can stick around. So
cool.
Let's get to Norm.
You know, sometimes you cover a song that a lot of people never heard, and a big group comes and picks it up, or a big singer comes and picks it up and turns it into a hit. In fact, Gordon, you had the genesis of the Twist and Shout from a Top Notes, which sounds like the name of the high school jazz band they put together in a garage in Burleson, to the Isley Brothers, and then to the Beatles. I mean, my God, what a progression musically. Well, this song came out in 1969 and was covered in 1970. That is very fast to do a cover, especially when the first group that put it out, people heard it and thought, that's great. Here's the original that came out in 1969. That's Creedence Clearwater, who released that in 1969, and people liked it. I mean, it's not like people thought, oh, who is this? Creedence Clearwater put out a really good song. In 1970, it was released by Ike and Tina Turner, and it sounded pretty different.
You know, every now and then I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice and easy. But there's just one thing, you see. We never ever do nothing nice and easy. We always do it nice and rough. But we're gonna take the beginning of this song and do it easy. But then we're gonna do the finish rough. Today we do Proud Mary. Rolling, rolling, rolling on the river. Listen to the story now. Left a good job in the city, working for my man every night and day, and I never lost one minute of sleep, and I was worried about the way the things might have been. Big wheel keep on turning, ooh, the Proud Mary keep on burning.
I used to be in the camp of Tina Turner being a bit overrated. Until you listen to some of the early tunes, and her voice was so good. There's a song called Fool in Love that I could listen to, I don't know, probably 10 times in a row before I get tired of it. Her voice is so spectacular in this thing.
I saw Tina Turner in concert, and she and I had a moment.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I snuck over to the side stage where you couldn't even really see the whole stage. And she would eventually dance her way over straight to the edge of the stage, and there was like nobody over there. And she looked right down at me with a spotlight behind her and did her little sparkly dress butt shake while she was singing.
and it was just for you, right?
It was just for me, and Tina.
Mike, congratulations on being one of the 13,000 males that had a moment that night.
Yeah, I turned a corner on Tina Turner. Her voice is spectacular.
Didn't Ike used to beat her with a coat hanger?
well, pretty much anything that was in sight, he did.